It's a fun day already here chatting with our special guest hosts from the Splash Play community, of course. You know him well, our guy Adam. But today we're going to talk about rookies in particular. The rookie ADP is moving. Ladd McConkey in the thumbnail. He's going to 70s now. And our guy Adam was big on him bright and early. So some good takes already from him. Today we're going to dig into another BBM draft as well. I am, of course, already in a draft room. Does seem like we have some regulars. Let me go to the two-person camera. And here's our guy, Adam, wearing the Georgia jersey, even though it does look like a hockey jersey from the top up. But Adam, we're chatting before the show and actually got distracted because we're having a good convo. But how are you feeling this fine morning?
I'm feeling good. How are you?
I'm good. So you work from home on Thursdays, right? So are you're do they know you're doing draft content right now, or are you just pretending you're still on Slack?
Yeah, I'm still working right now, technically. Getting paid to draft is not the worst thing in the world. So just don't send it to my employer.
There you go. So shout out our guy, Adam. And guys, hit the like button for Adam here. Of course, a regular in the chat who's contributed a lot of value. And frankly, you know, to give you credit, you are a Georgia guy, Ladd McConkey and the thumbnail. You were saying before the show, and I was going to ask you about it. Ladd McConkey soaring up the boards, had his current price tag, let's say in the 70s. Are you willing to go there? Are you going to be with the field, above the field, crazy above the field?
I'll probably try and be with the field if his price stays where it is right now. I've seen him go a lot higher than his ADP right now, and I've also seen him fall a little bit. So kind of we'll try and get him when he falls, but I think he landed a pretty good outcome. There's not really a lot of competition for targets on that team, so I think he landed a good outcome, but still that price is getting pretty expensive.
Yeah, I think that's my big concern for him. We were talking about it before the show is like, I think he can get targets in that offense. Like, I think he could be getting, you know, 5 to 7 a game, maybe even 10, like in certain games. But it's the issue is like, are they going to just run it at the goal line? Could he even earn targets in the red zone? Like, I think there are better outcomes in terms of being a wide open offense that I think would have exploited. Like, if he's in the bleak Washington role in Miami, I think would have been interesting. All right, but we're on the clock here. So what's your preference? We have an Atlanta team with Bijan Robinson. We have Puka. We could reach up for a Harrison or something. AJ Brown's there. Who do you like?
I normally don't go Bijan, but it's not a bad price for him. Probably either Bijan or Puka, whatever you.
All right, you know what? You are a Georgia man, even though Bijan obviously played at Texas, but I feel like he's there. So we'll start with the theme. We'll go with Bijan Robinson, and I'm with you. I don't get a lot of him, but I like the bet on Atlanta overall. And really for Bijan, for Pitts, for London, their bets get easier because now if Kirk Cousins does suffer from being old or the Achilles recovery, like these guys are still going to be good because Penix can go out there and do some facsimile.
Yeah, and I think the other thing with Bijan is if you look at kind of what the Rams did last year with Kyren, I know the Falcons brought over a lot of pieces of the Rams staff on offense. So I think if you could see Bijan getting that sort of volume, that'd be great. The other thing, though, is Kirk Cousins hasn't really been on a team that supported like a elite running back. So kind of that dynamic is kind of interesting to think about.
I would say if Bijan gives you Dalvin Cook a couple years ago kind of year, you're not mad at that, you know, and if he has a little more juice to that as well, I think you can get there. That was one that I missed out to when I was thinking through the historicals. Like Dalvin did have a couple good years. He obviously fell off a cliff there and enough that they could talk themselves into Madison being a better choice. But I don't know, there was a moment there where I thought he was somebody.
Yeah, and I think Bijan, you know, you got the great draft capital that you would want, and obviously there's Algier behind him, but it's not horrible. Well, that would have been nice.
Yeah, I thought we were going to get Drake London at 17. We do not. We got Devontae Adams here. Maybe not the most fun pick. We could go two running backs if you want to live on.
I was going to say we could go Adams for Adam. It could be kind of fun.
Oh, okay, but sure. That's that's a different theme, but all right. I like where your head's at. I support it. We take Devontae Adams for our guy Adam. A creative draft strategy. I think, though, unfortunately, if Drake London were there, we would have had to go Drake over the
Adam correlation. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, but great Adam correlation to start off the draft. So we do go with Bijan. We go Devontae. We're now not going to be RB piggies. I don't have to play the GIF. But Bijan at pick 8, not mad at it. I do kind of think that it's not going to happen in BBM, I would guess. But, like, I think Breece and Bijan should be pushed behind A.J. Brown and Puka, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I was thinking about it with Devontae Adams the other day. I think there's a real world where he gets traded mid-year.
Really?
I think if the Raiders aren't in contention and you see a team like, I mean, I think it would be kind of crazy if he went to the Jets, like Aaron Rodgers reunite that. Because I think Devontae's obviously getting older, and I would expect him to want to win a championship. And so I wouldn't be surprised if towards the end of the season there were rumors. I mean, there were even rumors this past year, weren't there?
Yeah, there were briefly there, I think, but then he said he was, you know, willing to stay. And then Antonio Pierce kind of initially didn't get in the ball, but then went out of his way to get in the ball. And he did stump for Pierce to keep the job. So I think that's a decent connection there. The trade rumors, though, the Steelers were apparently asking about him. Yeah, somebody just posted, Mo just posted that in chat. Steelers want him. The Steelers had inquired about him. I don't know how the inquiry went, but Steelers are chasing down anybody potentially. I think they'd also asked about Sutton. It also asked about Ayuk famously. But yeah. I think Adams, I can see what you're saying. I guess it just depends if the team is good with Antonio Pierce again. If they're good again, I think he stays and he doesn't rock the boat. But if they're bad, I that's where things could get ugly.
Yeah, I agree. And I think there's a situation where they are bad. I mean, I think they definitely made improvements on offense at bringing in Brock Bowers, but it was a little bit of a weird move, I thought. But I guess if you're thinking best player available, I think that's, you know, where you go.
So I guess that's another guy too. Brock's ADP coming down a little bit, it seems, so far. And people, I think, concerned about the Michael Mayer part, even though Mayer's definitely the one suffering ADP-wise, seeing him regularly go in the 200s now in these rooms. But how do you feel about Bowers' landing spot? Because obviously another Georgia guy, you are a Georgia guy wearing your Georgia jersey. But are you bullish on him at his ADP? Like, do you think he can salvage? Because certainly both outcomes you can make a case for.
Yeah, I think when I was thinking about it before the draft, the Raiders weren't even a team I was really considering him going to, just with already having Mayer and invested in him last year. But I still think Bowers is good enough to earn targets and make the most out of his targets, because his targets won't be super quarterback dependent. You know, he does not a Kyle Pitts like tight end where it's downfield. You need the quarterback to be able to get him the ball down the field. With Bowers, it's a lot of around the line of scrimmage and middle of the field stuff. So I think that allows him to still have a good ceiling. And I'll still probably take him a lot when he falls and even at his price, but I kind of want to see where he settles out.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. I think there's opportunity for him no matter what to get some touchdown equity, just because Devontae Adams is going to take a good amount of attention away in the red zone. Even Jacoby Myers, you know, put up some decent touchdown days. And overall, you know, fantasy-wise, I think had more good days than I would have thought he was capable of. For Bowers, though, I think really the big thing comes down to, like, if it's Minshew out there, and O'Connell's a similar player, he's not going to be a deep ball slinger. But Minshew is going to want to get the ball out to guys that are there and easy to get the targets to. And if it's Adams, great. I'm sure he's going to feed Adams pretty well. But I think for Bowers, like, that's the kind of player that you'd expect to really align well. And fucking this guy, Amon-Ra, Nico, and Diggs. I would dream of that combo, and we do not get that. Waddle, Pittman, Devontae, Cooper Kupp, anybody?
I haven't been that big on Waddle or really anybody in this range. But I think Waddle makes sense.
I don't get a lot of Waddle. We're at a little bit of a discount. We can take Waddle here. Waddle to me in the big board was just, he wasn't even there. I think his value is getting worse with Malik Washington and Taj Washington being there. The Washington boys both coming in with different skill sets, but like Malik's a great target earner. Washington's going to be a Taj is going to be a downfield guy. And Waddle is just, I think he's just, I said it yesterday, but I think he's just contingent value for Tyreek really. And that's okay in that offense, but I don't know. I don't like paying second round price tags on him.
Yeah. You know, I don't love the price either, but when he falls, I mean, he's not someone I want to have zero exposure to. So if he falls, you know, four or five picks, I think it's worth getting him. Like, if you're not going to take him when he falls, you're never going to take him. So
yeah, I think that's a fair way to look at it. And our guy Tyler here in the chat, of course, one of the leaders of the community, doing great streams Mondays at 4 p.m. on Fantasy Sanctuary's YouTube channel if you want to check that out. Bowers and Jacoby kind of overlap a bit, don't love it. I agree, but the hope is that you have enough volume there to make it work. Trey McBride at 39, so that's a scoop. What would you have a lean here with the guys you see on the screen?
I don't love the running backs. The receivers aren't the best. I've been taking a lot of Lamar.
All right, I'm following your lead here. I'm deferring, and then again, we are splitting the pot with our $1.5 million when we win it. We'll see what we get back. I think we're probably. Saw Zay fall in a draft yesterday. I don't think he could fall all the way back to us. I'd be asking a lot of this room.
Yeah. And I found myself liking my teams more getting, you know, one of these high-end quarterbacks. Maybe not Josh Allen at pick 27 or wherever he went. But, you know, a Lamar or Hurts in the mid fourth round or AR in fifth or sixth round, I feel like those guys bring a lot of value to a team.
How do you feel about the elite tight ends here? Because I talked about them obviously at great length yesterday. Did a double stream if you want to check that one out. Of course, there's a playlist, all the drafts I'm doing here that you can see. Guys like Adam, of course, our guy Chunk last month. The community members are getting on here. But Laporta at 23 here, McBride moving up to 39. Do you like these price tags? Are they comfortable for you? Are you getting these guys, or are you planning on getting these guys if they stay here?
If they're going here, I think it kind of depends on who's around them, right? Like if McBride is on the board and T. Higgins is on the board, I'm probably going to take T. Higgins. But if it's, you know, choosing between McBride and say like Zay Flowers and Travis Etienne, I'm probably going to go for McBride, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I feel like Laporta, and I like Laporta a lot. Laporta at 23 does not do it for me. I feel like Laporta at 30 works pretty well, because I think if you have him at 30, Kelsey at 35 to 40, McBride at 35 to 45, wherever that breath is, I think that all works for me. Laporta at like 20 is a little bit aggressive, and it wouldn't shock me. Like, I feel like he could pass Kyren. I think he can pass Debo. And he might be able to pass Jonathan Taylor. I feel like he's coming down in ADP.
Yeah, and Laporta did benefit from them not taking any offensive weapons early in the draft. But still, I think if you're paying for Laporta at this price, the only way he pays off is if he really separates from the rest of the tight ends. Like if he's going a round and a half or two rounds ahead of, you know, McBride, Kelsey, I feel like that, you know, in the range of outcomes where he's a success and where he pays off that price, it's only if he separates from those tight ends, in my opinion.
True. Like, I agree that the point about the offense consolidating even more, like you lose Josh Reynolds, you get the year one to year two bump for Laporta. And then you also, I mean, Jameson Williams, I think, gets a similar bump because he missed enough time that he's basically like going to be year two and year three for himself. But I think for Detroit, just not adding a weapon, like I thought they were live to take a, you know, a faller at round one, potentially. Like if they add a Ladd McConkey, I think you're losing some targets to Amon-Ra, or losing targets overall. Definitely Laporta would get hurt by that. If they added a downfield guy like, you know, AD Mitchell, I guess, or Adonai Mitchell, that'd be something too, where you're taking probably some targets away, but instead they got the best outcome. So I get people's enthusiasm for Laporta. I just think price tag wise, he's not that much better than Kelsey and McBride, I would say.
Yeah, he's someone I'm excited about as a player, but that price is definitely hard to pay up for.
And this guy who gets the gem of things falling to him has to prevent us from getting something nice falling to us with old Mark Andrews. So we have Rashad White, who I do not want to take. Pacheco, I'm okay with. Cooper, Kirk, Mixon, AR, McLaurin, all these guys are fine to me.
Yeah, it's one of the receivers. I like Terry, but I think there's also a chance he maybe comes back, but... What's your thinking on Amari Cooper or Terry?
I would go Terry. I think Terry's coming up. I've seen him get scooped for me off stream. I'm actually going to think on stream yesterday too, where somebody came up to the 50s to get him. I think he's coming up now that the pieces are coming together. If people going like, oh yeah, Jaden Daniels might be something. And I think once we get to July, I think Terry goes back to the 40s personally. People want to like Terry, and I think they just don't have the faith in whatever's gone on in Washington. So they just need some kind of like, oh, wow, Jaden Daniels, here's a highlight of him throwing it 70 yards to McLaurin. And that's going to happen, I think, a pretty good amount in camp.
And I mean, the fantasy best ball community is very reactionary. It's just going to take, like you said, one clip on Twitter from the Commanders of Jaden Daniels throwing a bomb to McLaurin in practice. And, you know, he's going to shoot up around. But I like Terry because he also gives you the opportunity to bring in a guy like Jaden Daniels later on in the draft. So,
yeah. A Lamar Jaden pairing is very fun in terms of giving you that floor and ceiling every week then. And yeah, those two guys, you know, I know people are going to go, oh, he's not as good as Lamar was coming out. And we can agree to disagree on that. For Jaden, I really think the thing is going to be that he's going to run a good amount. And I think that he and Lamar have similar ranges of outcomes, at least once Jaden gets his footing and, you know, hopefully he doesn't get hurt.
I think Jaden's already a more polished passer than Lamar was for sure coming out of the draft.
I agree. You saw a good amount of him too, because you're an SEC guy. So like, how do you feel about him? Because the slander against him has kind of bothered me, especially given that like every time he was on national TV, he won the Heisman. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah. We can talk about it more after we make the pick.
Wow. Look at you. Okay. Look at the professionalism. Who do you want to, go with here? We got Brian, we got the Jacksonville boys. We got Pacheco, Mixon.
I kind of like Christian Kirk. Okay. I know he's not the most exciting pick, but I've been drafting a lot of him and falls 10 picks. I think it's a good spot.
Okay. Look, I'm trusting your judgment here, especially when you set up segments and breaks like that. So we're good. but no, I think this is good for me because like Christian Kirk, I do have a bias against because I just don't think he gets a touchdown equity in this offense. Like Brian Thomas, like you're adding him and he is going to be, you know, the Plaxico Burress. He's going to be the guy that I think dominates a little bit downfield. Target share is not gonna be huge for him, but I think he takes a lot away. And last year, you know, Ridley took a lot away. And I would say in terms of what they do as go ball guys and also as red zone threats, I think Thomas is already going to be a better version of that than Ridley is in his current state. So that's the issue for me with Kirk, but Kirk's volume is going to be great, you know, everywhere else. And I think on DraftKings where I like, he's really going to crush because he's going to get you like 8 targets for 80 in a lot of games.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I think he definitely is probably better in PPR, but I still think that, I mean, with a guy like Waddle also on the team, Waddle kind of also has a low floor. And I think bringing in someone like Christian Kirk, who's got a higher floor, is also kind of like roster construction wise makes sense.
An interesting point here by Razed about the if you have CMC, you're not getting Laporta in the fourth round. So no issues here taking him the second or third. CMC Laporta could be somewhat unique. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. And that is a thing where Travioli lined it up with McCaffrey. So to his credit, that might have been a unique thing to put together. Though I feel like, yeah, I mean, Laporta's not coming back here. But people take Laporta enough at 24, 25. I don't know how unique you're actually getting with McCaffrey and Laporta at 2 and 23.
Yeah, I think it's actually something that I've thought about because I feel like a lot of times when you take CMC, you're also going 2 wide receivers at the next turn just so you don't set yourself back too much. And Laporta, it's not like you're reaching that much for him. Like, he could outscore a lot of the guys that are going in that 2-3 turn range. So it's not out of the realm of possibilities.
Yeah, I think with Kyren Williams coming down a little bit more, I think that Kyren's going to be the kind of guy, and Achane too. Like, these are guys to me that if a casual drafter's in the one hole, they're going to be so tempted to take another one because they're going to be like, oh, this guy was so great in like season long last year. And it doesn't mean, like, I like Kyren, Achane too. Like, those are two guys to me that I don't hate the idea of doing that build, but you really have to stick receiver. Point being for me is, like, I think there are really casual temptations. And the 101 to me is, like, it entices you into the chalk build the most because you're starting with McCaffrey. Mm-hmm. So I think it kind of leads into people's inclinations. And that makes them want to go Kyren, Achane, Kyren, Laporta, Achane, Laporta. I think that'll be a more common start, at least until ADPs maybe go even higher.
Yeah.
We're lower for the running backs. Like, Achane and Kyren are going the wrong way.
Yeah. What did you make of the Dolphins bringing in Jalen Wright?
I think that's one that I would prefer to not play the Jalen Wright outcome until we get to camp. I think it is still an Achane and Mostert backfield, and I would guess closer to 50-50 at least to start the year. Mm-hmm. Jalen Wright could win out, but he is coming from like a gimmicky offense. And one you saw at Tennessee where we're talking like 4 down linemen spread apart kind of thing. Like, nothing that he's running against that was difficult at all. So I think for him, like, you know, Miami did well with Achane, but Achane was a 20 touch back at A&M. For Jalen Wright, you know, playing against legit teams, Jalen Wright, I don't think did anything impressive besides be fast. So just depends on the usage, and you're not going to know till camp.
Yeah, I think with Jalen Wright, he did get a lot of light boxes, but he's also really explosive when he got the light boxes. And kind of with Achane, once he saw a lot more carries, his efficiency dropped a lot. I was looking at it the other day. But let's see.
You're on the clock here. We got Deontay. We have Hopkins. We also have Brock Bowers here, though he could go a little bit later, though it's nobody else at tight end. Maybe not.
I don't mind going Brock here.
I feel philosophically, if we're doing an Adam draft and we're taking Devontae Adams for having the name Adam, I think we should take Brock Bowers.
I agree. And I still think Brock has the ceiling that you're looking for from a tight end. He's going to get the volume, you would assume. He's good after the catch. And I think those are kind of all the things you look for in a kind of early to mid-round tight end.
I agree. All right, so guys, a real fast, quick plug. Hit the like button if you can. Subscribe if you can. I think Adam's doing a great job today. And Adam, to his credit, has defined a character for himself and a brand for himself with the Georgia guys, where we know if I'm in a draft with Adam, I need to take Brock Bowers. Now I know I also have to take guys with the name Adam. They're not Adam Thielen, right? We don't have to do that.
No, I can't make myself do that.
So yes, shout out to Adam being here. And of course, if you guys want to be in the hunt to be the next guest host here on Splash Play, 5 stars and review for my sports betting app, probably I will leave it in the pinned comment down below, and we'll be doing another draw around the 15th of the month. So get the entries in as soon as you can. And everybody who enters to win will at some point get on the summer, but probably if you don't win the drawing, you'll be on our marathon stream at the end. Another pick coming up here. So some optionality with this 1-1-4-1 build. And I'll give the team a read as well. We have Lamar, Bijan Robinson, Davante Adams, Jalen Waddle, Terry McLaurin, Christian Kirk, and Brock Bowers. Anything you see on the screen that you like? I feel like a Pittsburgh running back could work.
Yeah, it's either probably Keon or one of the running backs for me.
Yeah, Ladd's already gone, man.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Najee, Jalen Warren, Keon. Which one?
I like Keon.
Okay. Yeah, because we can't get Ladd. I was kind of planning.
I know. I was thinking I saw him go at the one spot. Pick 70.
Oh, man. He went 70. Jeez. I mean, I guess it makes sense. He's high 70s. Should he be that much higher than Keon Coleman, do you think?
I don't know if I would put him over Keon Coleman. I think Ladd, at least in my opinion, is the better prospect than Keon Coleman. But I think you can't argue with where Keon Coleman landed. Like, I think in the offseason, everyone was talking, oh, if, you know, insert rookie receiver here goes to the Bills, he's going to be a smash. Like, I think that's kind of what you got with Keon Coleman. And, you know, he has a chance. And I think he comes in and is the starting X receiver for the Bills. And at pick 90, I think that's not a bad bet to make.
Yeah, his touchdown earning ability, like his skill in the red zone, the EPA being so plus in the red zone, really jumped out to me in a way that I thought, you know, that's a way you can immediately earn a role. Even if the rest of it I have questions about, like he can't separate that well. He was only catching contested catches. And, you know, you could say that's skill, but if you can't separate in the pros at all, like I think it's trouble. But red zone jump ability, like that's still a contested catch area and he's doing it there. So maybe there's something they could put together. And if nothing else, you know, like Josh Allen's going to throw it up for him. It's just how it turns out will be up to him.
Yeah. And I think that was to make a reference to another Georgia player. It was similar with George Pickens. Someone who – I like that comment. Who are we talking about? Oh, Pickens, how he may not separate great, but he's really good at making the contested catches. I think Pickens last year or the year before was second to last in separation, but had the highest contested catch rate in the NFL. So, you know, if you're going to not separate, you better be good at making contested catches. So obviously you wish that they would separate, but not everyone's Marvin Harrison Jr. So.
True. And that's a fair assessment. And I don't expect it to be Harrison or Neighbors or anything, but for Pickens to his credit, like, I think he is, like, he's been a very plus EPA receiver. So in my mind, I view it differently where it's like, okay, if you're going to contest the catches, you're not separating, but you're still creating value in a major way. That's something. For Keon Coleman, we're talking about a guy that was basically like flat zero EPA per target. So you're doing what the average player would in the situation, which is just not what you want to see in college. Cause in the pros, it's going to come down a little bit. He's going to get the bump from volume, the bump from Josh Allen. I think the best case outcome for him is like being Kelvin Benjamin. I know people have made that comp a lot lately and the FSU makes it easy, but I think that's just a comp. It's like, if he gets there, it's going to be through sheer will and not necessarily through his talent, his charming media interviews about his jackets.
Yeah. Although he did kind of rub me the wrong way with some of his comments he just made about Georgia. I don't know if you saw those.
I did not.
Basically saying that the game, the FSU Georgia game, didn't matter to them. And him, so.
Oh, those dicks. All right, so we have A.D. Mitchell. We really need to get running back, I would say, here.
Yeah.
I feel like Javonte coming down. We got the Washington bet. I think this is a bet I make a lot. Would you be down for Brian Robinson Jr.?
Definitely. Or I think Brian Robinson should be higher than Eckler.
Yeah, I agree. I think it should be higher than Chubb. Yeah, and Javonte as well. All right, same page. Yeah. Where do you think Javonte should be? Because I was talking about it with somebody, I think in the comments in YouTube lately, where... like Estime is the Sean Payton pick. Like Jaleel McLaughlin didn't get drafted last year. It was a UDFA. Javonte Williams, Payton inherited. I kind of think that might matter more. And as an Estime guy, like I don't want to be not getting him when I actually believe in the guy. But Javonte there, is he worth this 100-ish price tag to you?
Before the draft he was. Now that there's, I think it would have been different if they brought in a different type of running back. Like Javonte's going to get there from like getting the majority of the carries, like the first, second down carries. But I think you bring in Estime and that's kind of the kind of mold that he fits too. I think Javonte is someone who's probably better suited, not as a three down back. And so bringing in someone like Estime definitely hurts him in my opinion.
Yeah, I think he kind of has to come down a little bit. And I'm willing to make the bet on Javonte because he can hold off Estime. Like, that's not a crazy thing. But, like, Estime comes in. It's not, you know, Dwayne McBride was a guy kind of felt I got the wrong side of the Ty Chandler, Dwayne McBride on the Vikings backfield last year. I'll make that point in a sec. All right, on the clock here, I think we need running backs, Gus Edwards, Singletary, or we can lock down Jaden, which might be the move.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, okay.
I think he's not coming back.
Yeah. You? It's a lot of QBs left, so I sometimes get the shot on it. But for our team where we wanted the idea of Lamar and Jaden, we have McLaurin. I think it's just worth grabbing him.
Yeah, I agree. It opens up some other guys later, too.
Yeah, so I was making a point, but it now escapes me. So I'm sure it was really good. how are you feeling about the team so far? I'll give it a read, but we have Lamar, Jaden Daniels at QB, Brian Robinson Jr., and Bijan and Brian Robinson. Running back, wide receiver, we have Davante Adams because Adam is on the stream. Jalen Waddle, Terry McLaurin, Christian Kirk, Keon Coleman, Brock Bowers. I like it. How do you feel about it?
I really like it. I think pretty balanced all the way around. If you're going to take Bijan round one, I think you should probably wait a little bit to take your next running back. And Brian Robinson is a perfect second running back to me for this sort of build. I would have liked maybe Trey Benson. If he would have fallen one more pick to us, I think Trey Benson's someone that got a good outcome from the draft.
They trusted Connor so much, though. Like, I the usage for him, it was good. And he was good last year. I know another year of age is not good. And I think Benson can win the pass game role. But if he can't block, if he can't pass block, I think that could be a real risk point for him.
Yeah. And I think the other thing, like you're saying, Connor's definitely, I mean, like everyone, it's a year older for Connor. And he's missed a lot of games the last couple of years. And I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, Connor misses a couple games and Trey Benson comes in and, you know, does play really well like I would expect him to, that he could kind of carve out more of a role for himself than people might be expecting.
There's some hot takes from our guy Artillery Frost in the chat. So Leo McLaughlin was electric team player on the team last year. Every time he touched the ball, but him being a UDFA is a valid point. So Leo McLaughlin is basically Achane light. I think that's where I would go a little bit strong, but we talked about the Denver backfield briefly, but then I think that was where I was going was I think Estime could win the goal line role. That would not shock me, but I'm not as big on McLaughlin as a lot of people. Where are you with him? And I guess Denver overall.
I'm not very high on McLaughlin. He's not someone I've really been making a priority to take. I think there's better options. I think especially after bringing in Estime, it makes it even more crowded. And I know he's really explosive on the touches he did get, but he didn't get a lot of touches. So I think that plus bringing in someone who can handle a lot of touches doesn't help.
And they went the wrong way. Like his volume went the wrong way. They worked back to P. Ryan. They started giving more work to Javonte. I think that to him, like he started a little bit hotter and he finished the year with, you know, for what it's worth, 0.08 EPA per rush, a negative 0.06 EPA per pass, 21% avoided tackle rate. But the workload, his last game, he played 11 snaps. And that was a game where Javonte was still out there full go. So I think we saw the workload go the wrong way. We now have a guy that Peyton's bringing in that's, you know, going to be a back that takes that goal line stuff that was actually fairly valuable for McLaughlin last year. I think it's a lot of not great stuff for him, but the best hope for him is he wins the pass game role, which I think could be there because they feel like they should just cut P. Ryan and let him go somewhere else.
Yeah, I think if he wins that role, I think it's definitely good for him. I think bringing in Bo Nix as a quarterback that would benefit the running back and kind of the short passing game. I think I saw it somewhere. I think Bo Nix had the lowest air yards per attempt of any quarterback in this draft. So I think that helps a guy like maybe Jaleel. It also might help a guy like Mims, kind of around the line of scrimmage type plays.
All right, so we have Justin Herbert. We don't need. We have Gus Edwards here. We have Zach Charbonnet. I think those guys would make sense. I think we need to shore up running back a little bit more here.
Yeah, whichever one of those guys you like, I think.
Let's go Gus. I feel like Gus 10 picks after ADP. I think he must be coming down because of the Kamani Vidal buzz, which I get. Kamani Vidal did not play. You know, he played at Troy, right? He didn't play anywhere good.
And yeah, he was at Troy.
He did not show a lot either analytically at Troy. I'm willing to buy Kamani Vidal a little bit, but I don't think he should make Gus Edwards or Dobbins come down. He should just kind of come up alongside them as a separate bet or even a parallel bet, I guess.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, if Gus Edwards wins the goal line back role, which is what he had in Baltimore, I think if you get that role out of him in the 11th round, I think you're very happy with his outcome. just from a volume standpoint, like if he gets a lot of goal line touches, they've upgraded on their offensive line. I think that's a pretty good spot for him.
Yeah, the ask is really for them to get into the goal line, but you know, that's good. Yeah. That might be tough. Yeah. Should we be taking Pearsall now? Is super cheap, just in the off case that SF wide receiver does get traded. Wouldn't he be a 6th, 7th round in that scenario? You're right about the second part of that. I don't think one gets traded. I feel like they're digging their heels in enough, and I think they don't have any reason to force, like, Ayuk is going to play this year. He's not going to hold out for an entire year. Debo is maybe not happy about the situation. I think he's already made those innuendos on social media, but if they're coming back, like if they're bringing him back, and it does seem like that's the most likely outcome, I think you're just buying in on a guy that is the most fancy version of Juwan Jennings, if not, you know, a fancier version of Danny Gray. I think Pearsall to me is one of my least favorite picks in a draft right now because he's like contingent value.
Yeah, I would like Pearsall for like a dynasty perspective. I think you've kind of seen with, you know, guys like Higgins, guys like Ayuk holding out and requesting a trade. They're not going to get traded, I don't think. They're not going to hold out for the whole year because they need to play to earn a contract. So I would expect them to play. And then, you know, Burton and Cincy and then Pearsall, you know, in San Francisco provide really good options for the next year. It's kind of my opinion.
So we do have our bet on Jaden Daniels here. Obviously, I like Troy Franklin. I think Dotson would make sense here. We also could take Rico Dowdle, Jalen Wright to shore up at running back. What do you prefer?
I probably like one of the receivers, okay. Either Franklin or Dotson. I think I like Franklin better in a vacuum, but I don't know about with Dotson on the – I'd probably go Franklin still.
All right. Hey, if you're going to go Franklin, you don't have to twist my arm here. Troy Franklin, got a little bet on Denver. So the team so far, we've got Lamar, Jaden Daniels, really dynamic duo that I like a lot. Bijan Robinson, Brian Robinson Jr., Gus Edwards at running back. So we need at least one more running back there. Devontae Adams, Jalen Waddle, Terry McLaurin, Christian Kirk, Keon Coleman, Troy Franklin, Brock Bowers. And I think we know who we're live for at tight end perhaps later on. We'll see what else we do.
Hint, wink, wink.
Yeah. I actually dropped a video in the Discord today, in the public Discord. So if you are in Pete's Deposit Kingdom Discord, you can check it out there. But dropped a video of Ben Sinnott because it came up my algorithm. And it was some guy who like researched Ben Sinnott's like past or whatever and like all his stops and talked about him. He initially was like a running back in high school and then bulked up to be able to move to be like the H-back slash tight end to Kansas State. And then still had to bulk up more and learn the offense more and how to do that. And wasn't really good until like his, I think, second year or it's like his redshirt sophomore year. But for him, like he apparently like was dieting like a madman, doing fitness like a madman to try to get himself going. And I think those are traits that you don't know about every guy. And you have to assume a lot of guys are like that, but having that LeBron level hyper focus on your body at a young age, I feel like that didn't make me feel bad about my Ben Sinnott love. I would say to talk about Ben Sinnott for the 100th stream in a row.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, I mean, obviously it's with this era of football, everyone's a great athlete. So I think obviously there's some people that are great athletes and some people that are really good athletes and you want the great ones. But it's nice to see some sort of versatility, you know, someone with experience as a running back or an H back and then playing tight end like that, those skills translate over well. Like if you can get the ball in the hands of someone who has experience as a runner like that, I think that's valuable.
And it was something too that I think Corain had done research on. Of course, Pat Corain, legendary upside. Check out the site if you want some different rankings out there that are definitely designed to be actionable and underdog. I think he talked about like one of the most important things was like tight ends being on the field for like play action plays and being able to block enough to stay on the field. And they've talked enough about Ben Sinnott's ability to block and his ability to move around. So I think he's really an interesting player to me that is getting the public steam a little bit now. But I think maybe by the summer, if he keeps getting the seam, if he's working with the first seam in July, I feel like he could get to, can he get past Goddard maybe with people's rookie love? I think he'd take a big leap. So I'm buying now. And obviously I've been in the back since January.
Yeah. I think that was someone that you kind of put me on. Like I started taking a lot of him after listening to some of the stuff you said about him. Wasn't really necessarily on my radar to start the year, but definitely think that he got a good landing spot. You know, he has to beat out Zach Ertz, but Zach Ertz is like 45 right now. So I think he's not necessarily got the most competition. So I like the spot that he landed for sure.
I got Meatwad here returning. No Master Shake, unfortunately, no Frylock. But Jaden Daniels, if you can hear us, please save us. That's what I'm hoping for. If you were to rank your rookie QBs out of the ones you're most excited to see, not necessarily who like you think is going to be the best, but who do you think you would rank in terms of like who's going to be the most fun from week one or yeah, some point early?
I think kind of the obvious answer is Caleb. When you surround him with that much talent, I think they've done a great job in that. Didn't really do that with Fields, but I think they kind of learned their lesson that, you know, in order for a rookie quarterback to have success, they need people to throw to. But I think from like an electric fantasy standpoint, I think Jaden Daniels is the one that, you know, if you're talking about a single game ceiling, I think he has the highest one out of all of the, out of the rookies. I'm not as excited about Bo Nix as you are.
He's not going to be a fun watch necessarily, but he's going to run the thing on time. And I think that's all we can ask.
Yeah. I think people kind of give the game manager, you know, phrase a bad rap when I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. Like, I think there's a lot of value into someone who can run an offense very efficiently. So he's not the most exciting quarterback, but he might be one of the better ones.
So we have a 2-3-6-1 here. Some uncorrelated picks that could be okay. We have Chuba. We could try to really get the Chargers backfield. Do you have a lean positionally or player wise?
Probably not Chuba because I think he will fall even more. Maybe Ty Chandler.
Yeah, I'm okay with Ty Chandler. I don't think we need a receiver right now. I feel like we can get to five running backs and feel pretty good about that. So you'll add in Ty Chandler here. And and then we still have to get some correlation with Lamar going at some point, ideally. Maybe some more with Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
2-4-6-1 is what we got.
Very nice balance build so far. I think Ty Chandler also was a winner from the draft. Did they bring in anybody?
No, they did not bring in anybody, at least unless there was a UDFA out there, but I really can't care about UDFAs until we're in like, you know, July and you hear about them getting some real work that matters. And even then, like Denarik Prince is a seventh rounder last year, and it's like, oh, he's getting some work, but it was because there was nobody else was healthy in the backfield and that ended up meaning nothing.
Yeah. I think there's definitely that's kind of the line you have to tote in the offseason is what news do you buy into and what news do you not buy into? Because there's obviously going to be a lot of landmines, like you were saying, Denarik Prince and like Justin Ross. You know, you get reports of them having a great camp. Well, maybe because nobody else was really active in camp, and it's just something to consider.
All right, so we got another pick coming up here. 2-4-6-1 build with Lamar, Jaden Daniels, a QB, Bijan Robinson, Brian Robinson Jr., Gus Edwards, Ty Chandler at running back, wide receiver Devontae Adams, Ben Sinnott, ghost Alex Keaton, who watches Splash Play, you son of a bitch, Devontae Adams, Jalen Waddle, Terry McLaurin, Christian Kirk, Keon Coleman, Troy Franklin, Brock Bowers. I did not think we were going to get Sinnott scooped at 159. Yeah. I thought we'd even have one more pick potentially before we had to take him.
Yeah, I did too.
All right. Well, what do we do now that the draft's been ruined? We could go Mims. We could go.
I like Mims. We also have Franklin, so kind of another bet on Denver.
Yeah, I don't know. And we don't even have to take Knicks for it if you didn't want, because like you could make the bet on Denver without taking Knicks if you have Lamar and Jaden.
Yeah, I think that's kind of thing you got to consider. Like, there's no need for Knicks in this team.
Fucking Alex, man. Alex is a regular in chat, too. That bums me out. So, Adam, I do want to ask you, though, a little bit about your background. Because, like, you're coming in, obviously, I think you're doing a great job, both in terms of your concept presentation here, as well as your knowledge of football, I think, has shined through to me from, you know, the moment you started engaging here in the chat and the comments and all that. So, what's your background? How long have you been playing best ball? I guess, like, what makes you, you know, give you what you feel like you have an edge here?
I think, well, so I've always played fantasy football, like growing up, like I've always just loved it. And I was always the guy in the league, probably a little bit annoying, but always the guy sending trades, like always the one that, you know, and the internet. Yeah.
Your internet's killing it. That's number one skill. Best ability is availability.
Exactly. But last year was my first year, like really taking best ball seriously. And I had a good advance rate, but I had one team make the finals in like one of the smaller contests, but I just really like it. It's super fun. I've always loved football. College football has always been my thing. And then NFL just kind of, you follow the players all throughout college and then you end up just getting more into NFL. So I still probably like college football over NFL, but I think having watched so much college football, that kind of helps me, you know, with like some of my player takes and just being able to watch these guys for multiple seasons rather than just seeing their data on a spreadsheet. I think that's kind of an advantage.
Yeah, I think you definitely, and you showed that with just knowing, you know, some of the speed it has. Like, he was the first guy that told me Ladd McConkey would be incredibly fast, and he ended up being faster than Tank Dell, but we were using that as kind of the barometer. But, you know, I agree that, like, the tough part of, you know, anytime you're following a sport more, even with the stuff that we do watching week to week in the NFL, it's like you do build up your biases a little bit more. And for college, where it's different competition and different situations, and, like, you see guys, you know, at their best against some dog shit team that shouldn't even be on schedule, and you're like, you file that away. Where I think, you know, you have to treat everything, every stage as like a new reaccounting of things. But, like, you know, you're not allowed to shine through in a way that I thought was honestly very impressive, and especially in, you know, the medium of making comments and chats.
Yeah, no, I just love watching college football. I'm weird where I'll just go back and watch random games from the past year from random teams just because I like watching college football. So I think that kind of gives you see the game differently. You see how players play and, you know, how they kind of fit into offenses and stuff like that.
Yep, I agree. No, I think it's interesting to see. And a lot of college guys, I think this is the year where QBs, wide receivers, you're going to see it's almost like a changing of a guard for these amount of guys coming in. Where, like, in my list, I think there's like legit like 25 guys I would say got either a landing spot or draft capital enough at receiver to be passable. Yeah. We have tight ends here. We could take Isaiah Likely for our first Baltimore correlation, maybe.
Yeah.
Or Henry is probably a better tight end play.
Yeah, I probably like Henry. I also wouldn't mind Bucky Irving. I think he got a pretty good outcome.
You know what? I do support that, and I think we can maybe get different Baltimore correlation as well if we need it. So
yeah.
Let's go Bucky Irving. Plus,
I think if Likely goes, I don't think I'm that upset.
Yeah, I agree. He feels like just contingent value with maybe one or two spike weeks if Andrews doesn't get hurt.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that I thought was interesting, like at Georgia, it'll make sense why I'm bringing Georgia into this. The Baltimore's OC, Todd Monken, was Georgia's OC for 2 years, I think. Or no, for more than 2 years, but he was Georgia's OC. And he ran a lot of two tight end sets, and that's why I was kind of expecting Likely to have more value with Andrews on the field last year.
Yep, that was my take too. Yeah.
Yeah. Just because, like, Georgia had Darnell Washington and Brock Bowers, and they were playing a lot of 12 personnel. So I thought that maybe we would see some of that, but, you know, we didn't really see that, but maybe year two is the year that we see it.
Yeah. I was surprised that that wasn't the case last year, because I really thought that was what made Georgia an interesting offense that year. Was like Washington's really efficient. Bowers worked a little bit more everywhere. And Washington, frankly, looked more like a guy in Georgia's offense than he looked at any point for Pittsburgh last year, where he looked like a blocker out there, not look like much more than that. But yeah, I agree. Like, Likely, he didn't get the work last year. He only got the work when Andrews went out. And Andrews is old enough where it's an okay contingent value bet. But in terms of, like, you gotta have a good tight end one if you're gonna go two tight ends, and Likely's your tight end two.
Yeah,
can we get any player?
Honestly, it works out because I'd rather Hunter Henry.
Yeah, he's a better play. I think he benefits from the Drake May or the Jacoby Brissett of it all. But it's just unbelievable that, like, fucking the guy in the six hole, everybody's falling to him perfectly, and for us, it's like one pick before us every time.
Yeah, so I like Hunter Henry. I think he's always he's a pretty good red zone threat too. Obviously, with the offense, you would think they'd have more red zone trips this year than last year. Not really saying much, but I still think he's someone that has value. So
yeah, I think too, like, he, if anything you could say about him is that he had one of the worst QB situations that were possible last year. Mm-hmm. There was a stretch in that beginning of the year where people were like, thank God I drafted Hunter Henry, like, he's carrying my team. And it went to shit after that. But, like, you still had a good month and a half of him being, you know, a top 10 tight end. So if the QB play is going to be better, and I think, much like, you know, Atlanta, the QB play is going to be better no matter what, no matter what outcome they get there. I think it's not bad for Hunter Henry, even if I'd prefer to make the bet with Drake May, but, like, I think that he's still a good bet either way.
And I was thinking kind of similar to that, like, I can't remember who it was on Twitter talking about Drake London's price being so expensive this year. And to me, it's kind of a similar situation with him and Garrett Wilson. You know, they're both coming into their third year. They both for 2 years had really, really bad quarterback play. And so you're kind of making the bet on both of them with an older quarterback who's going to throw the ball a lot more. So I think if you're concerned about someone like either like Hunter Henry, like getting a new quarterback, like there's not, he can't be much worse, the quarterback situation. So I think that's interesting.
And I got Kevin here saying, not looking forward to my Clemson Tigers having to face UGA week one. That's a pretty big week one matchup to open it up.
Yeah, and on paper, I think.
On paper. Is Georgia going to be good next year? Or are they, because they're losing a good amount of guys, right? I guess they keep the QB back, right, who's going to be potentially number one overall next year.
I think Carson's going to be really good. I think he can play himself into top five pick. I think the thing with him is he doesn't have the kind of athleticism that we've seen kind of from the quarterback position recently. Even like Drake May, who's someone who's not, you know, the most athletic person, he's a lot more athletic than Carson Beck. But I think Georgia is like a 17.5 point favorite against Clemson. I think they've already released the lines.
Okay. Yeah. So that should be hopefully an easy one for your guys then.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Resume. I'd actually looked up Carson Beck's numbers recently because it was because they put out the 2025 NFL draft stuff. And I'm like, I remember hating Shedeur Sanders' numbers really, but being like, he's awful. Beck, I thought, looked okay. Like, Beck looked, I guess you run the risk of him being Stetson Bennett, who also looked okay analytically. And then you see him run through the, you know, the profile of everything, and he doesn't have those kind of abilities. And we'll see if maybe he get on the field at some point. But Beck, you know, I think should test a little better athletically, and he's got those numbers. So it's not bad.
Yeah.
Tez Walker here?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Yeah, finally, some correlation with Lamar for our wide receiver eight. So we got Lamar, Jaden, Bijan, Brian Robinson Jr., Gus Edwards, Ty Chandler, Bucky Irving, Devontae Adams, again for Adam, Jalen Waddle, Terry McLaurin, Christian Kirk, Keon Coleman, Troy Franklin, Marvin Mims, Devontae Walker, aka Tez Walker, and Brock Bowers, Hunter Henry. I don't think we need any position anymore. So I think we have a pure luxury for round 18.
Yeah, I think it's running back or tight end for me.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Wide receiver, I don't believe we need, but if we took another one, I wouldn't, you know, wouldn't be running out of the room or anything. Yeah. Shipley or Tracy? Interesting. Philosophically, which would you prefer, Shipley or Tracy?
Probably Shipley. I think he's in a better offense. And, you know, obviously he's got Saquon in front of him, but I think one bad thing happens to Saquon, and Shipley is getting a lot of touches behind a really good offensive line and a really good offense. So I think when it's kind of those, you're deciding between someone on the Giants who's a second string or third string and someone on the Eagles who's a second or third string, I probably tend to go towards the better offense.
And Shedeur Sanders seems like going to be a catastrophe in the NFL. I mean, we'll see. We'll see what he does this year, but he's definitely got an overinflated sense of his talents, which can be very dangerous if you are in an ecosystem for that. Do you have any takes on Shedeur here before our pick?
Probably not that I'd want to share on stream. Okay, so I'm not a Shedeur fan.
Final pick here. Bo Nix goes in front of us. Who do you want to go with?
None of these running backs really do it for me.
No.
So it's probably a tight end and probably not Mayer with Bowers. So maybe Fant or Sanders, whichever one you prefer.
I think I'm still team Fant. I want to buy more in Seattle's offense. I just can't get over how much they don't seem to like Geno Smith. Like they really have not given him positive language at all. It's like, well, we're going to keep him around and they're bringing in Howell and they've talked up Howell more than they have Geno. But like bringing in, and you would know college, like Ryan Grubb's offense is one of the more fun ones in football last year in terms of what they did. Like they played, you know, NFL blitz to bomb style football, which is what you want to see for fantasy. You know, they're going to run it more because it's a defensive head coach. But I think like Fant's live, like there's no tight ends there that are going to threaten him.
Yeah, they lost, I think, Disley and Parkinson, who obviously weren't really receiving kind of prototype tight ends. But I think kind of clearing out the room, bringing in an upgrade at offensive coordinator. I think Grubbs ran a really complex offense at Washington. So I really like the potential that he gives that team.
Yeah, I'm with you on it. And then people debating here about Tracy winning the job. I agree. Like, he's not going to win the job. I think you need Singletary to get hurt. My guess would be Tracy's like contingent value, who maybe gets some passed down work. But he's like at best a Jaleel McLaughlin in that offense. And you don't pay Singletary that much unless you're going to give him the work, whether Singletary is good or not. Like, they're going to give him the work.
I think Singletary is someone who I'm going to be pretty high on this year, just from a volume perspective, even though I don't think that offense is going to be great. I think he's the clear back that's going to get a lot of touches.
I mean, this is a team that gave Saquon Barkley 40 touches in a game last year. So I have no reservations about Singletary, and especially when they want to protect themselves from QB play and also potentially want to protect themselves from Daniel Jones getting hurt. So his injury guarantee doesn't kick in if they're playing him. Yeah. I think there's a lot of reasons Singletary gets touches this year. Let's give the team a final read here once this pick is made. FFB Holes, one of our guys who has joined the community, and then I now don't think he's just a troll, because, Adam, you see the name FFB Holes. Like, what do you expect?
Yeah, exactly.
It's because his name is like something Holes. It's like Brandon Holzenhauer or something.
Yeah. So do you like Bucky's landing spot?
Oh, I do. I think that I saw last year just them moving away from – Rashad White enough in the pass game where they were working Chase Edmonds at a lot. They tried Keyshawn Vaughn out. I think all those things to me lead me to believe that they drafted Bucky for a reason, and the reason is probably going to be to take the third down work at a minimum.
Yeah, because I think Rashad White was second in the league in carries and like 14th in yards. So just not a very efficient running back, but got there on volume alone. So I think take some of that away and give it to Bucky, and it would bring Bucky up and drop White down.
And I think too, like, Baker, even though he's a downfield thrower, like, I think he prefers running back targets to like slot targets. Like, I think he likes to just get it out to that guy, let him make a play. And Bucky's going to make a play a lot more than Rashad White did. And Rashad White like made plays in the pass game last year, but I don't think it was like his own talent. He just kind of took what was there.
Yeah.
All right. So final team read here. And Adam, I'll give you the floor if you want to talk about anything. We got an hour, so I'll give you a couple minutes if you want to plug some stuff or whatever. We got Lamar Jackson, Jayden Daniels at QB, Bijan Robinson, Brian Robinson Jr., Gus Edwards, Ty Chandler, Bucky Irving at running back, wide receiver Adams, Waddle, McLaurin, Kirk, Keon Coleman, Troy Franklin, Marvin Mims, Tez Walker. I think this is a pretty loaded wide receiver room. I have my reservations about Waddle, but getting him at a discount, I think we made up well there. And then Bowers, Henry, Fant. Anything you think we could have done differently besides maybe not getting sniped on five different players?
The only thing is maybe having a slightly better third running back. I think Brian Robinson and Bijan are pretty good 1-2 punch, but I guess I'm normally more comfortable with one more running back, but I think there wasn't really a time point that made sense to draft one.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. So I'm going to give you the floor because you are a guy that has takes, you're a guy that has opinions. So first of all, I guess if you want to get any plugs out, you can, but I want to give you the floor as well to say any takes you have, any questions you want to prompt me about that maybe you haven't gotten to when you've been in chat. But plugs first. Are you doing anything? Are you doing any content or anything that you want to talk about?
Not really. I'm on Twitter, but I don't really tweet. I just kind of like...
Yeah, I don't know if I wanted to plug your Twitter or not. I don't know if you were personal. Like, it seemed more like personal Twitter because you have dog photo, usually personal Twitter.
Yeah, I don't really do much on Twitter other than read articles and kind of follow news and stuff like that. So I don't really, the tweeting that I do is mainly just responding to random people. But no, I think pretty good team. I think it's always fun getting to talk to, you know, I'm in the chat, but talking to you on screen is different than obviously in chat. So it's nice to kind of put a face to the name. So
yeah, same here for me, especially on my end. Like, you have to see my face, unfortunately, every day, but for you, it's like to see you guys, you handsome fellas, you and Chunk too, but two in a row with flowing locks coming on the stream. But any takes that you have for the year that you want to get ahead of here, because this is your shot. You can make 100 people watching, make the claim now, and people will forever remember Adam and his prognostications.
Well, I already have my my claim to fame is Ladd McConkey, and you
nailed it. He's pick 70 now, so you fucking crushed that one.
Yeah, when I was taking him in the 140s, that felt a lot better than taking him in the 70s.
I'll read that chat for you, Adam. Spags is the sexiest follower, as OG1 Kenobi says. Granted, there's not a single woman in chat to be found, but I think that's still, it still feels nice, right?
Yeah, definitely. I guess I don't really have any crazy takes. I think I've kind of given a lot of my big ones.
Also, someone had asked earlier, you're a Dolphins fan, right?
I live in Miami now. I grew up in Atlanta, though, so I'm a Falcons fan who cheers for the Dolphins. I mean, the paths don't really cross that often, so it doesn't really make sense.
Maybe this year, right? Probably, honestly, more likely on the Atlanta side than the Miami side, I would think.
Yeah, I think this might be a hot take, but I actually like the Penix pick. Obviously not for this year, but I think Penix is somebody who I had probably as the QB3 in the class if I were making it. And obviously I'm not an NFL scout, so I don't have access to all the tape and all the, you know, interaction with the players, but I just love what Penix does. I think arm talent wise, he's hard to beat. I know there's the injury concern, and it is the one thing that was confusing is bringing in probably the most pro-ready quarterback out of the class to sit for 2 years. So that was the one part of it that was confusing, but I don't hate it. I mean, having to watch two seasons of Desmond Ridder and Heinicke and Marcus Mariota makes you want as many quarterbacks on your roster as you possibly can. So.
Especially with a team that's built like that, where they're clearly building to win now. So like, you don't want to botch that if Cousins has a setback or if Cousins just gets old and gets hit again. So like, I get it from that level. It's just, you know, the team building part is tough. The not trading back, though, I get why they didn't do that either. They kind of got caught in like a rock and a hard place for that approach. But apparently they were trying to trade up to 10. They were trying to get a defender at 10, and then like, they couldn't get enough capital together.
Yeah. And the weird thing was just with kind of how this class fell, there wasn't really a good option for them. I think the Falcons didn't really need to add a piece on offense in the first round. They needed to add a piece on defense. But at 8, there's not really any good value players on defense. So I thought that they would try and trade back with the Vikings. I thought that that would have been a really good opportunity. Just because if they could get the two first round picks and take two really good defenders, I thought that would have helped the Falcons more than Penix for this year, obviously. But, you know, I would have been happy with Cousins and I would have been happy with Penix, but having both of them together was a little bit confusing. But yeah,
the offense is locked in. I think that's really the main thing you could hope for. So locked in offense for Atlanta, hopefully a good year. And then who wins the Super Bowl, Adam? What do you think?
Who wins the Super Bowl? I think this is the Bills' year.
Really? Oh, after all they've done, if they emptied out their wide receiver room and brought in Curtis Samuel and Keon Coleman, you think that's what puts them over the top?
Yeah, I've always loved Josh Allen. I think just what he can do for a team, I hate it for him that he's kind of never really been able to get over the hump. Same with Lamar. Like, I like Lamar a lot too. But just seeing these guys, they can't get past Mahomes. It sucks because I'm already tired of seeing Mahomes win.
Yeah, that's fair. I think that my hot take would be, I think that Houston passes up that like Bills Cincinnati like grouping where they take like they do what everybody thought Jacksonville was gonna do. And I think they might still lose to KC. Like, I kind of feel like this is the year that Houston gets the AFC title game. Texans lose to the Chiefs. Chiefs go on again, whether they win the Super Bowl or not. And like, that's the thing, the mountain that Stroud has to climb. But I think this is Houston's year. I think they go nuts on offense. They have a historical like Miami kind of year. And the defense also, like, they added so many guys in the draft and in free
agency. They added a corner from Georgia too. So I think I might be on board with the Texans too. Hop on the bandwagon.
Yeah, that's the most fun outcome too, I think, because if you want a video game offense, if you want to get back to like Rams Chiefs a couple years ago, CJ Stroud's the pathway to that being the thing that happens.
And that was one of the things, like watching, obviously watching college football, you get to watch guys like Stroud and Bryce Young. Georgia played both of them in that year. And Stroud almost beat Georgia and put up, like, was dominating almost until Marvin Harrison got hurt. But like, Stroud was tearing apart that Georgia defense that was one of the best defenses in recent memory. So that just kind of, I think people kind of got nervous with him, with obviously Ohio State's last quarterback that came out being Fields. But I think when you watch those two offenses, Fields did a lot of, you know, he would first, second read, and they would run their offense a lot to half of a field. So he's only having to process and read half of a field, whereas CJ Stroud had that kind of next level processing ability so that he could be more NFL ready. And that's kind of, we saw it. Obviously Stroud had slightly better weapons than Fields did, but just that being able to process the game at a faster speed is something that I think is really important, especially for these young guys.
And that's why, too, for me, the thing that I really, you know, try to drive home when I do my data prep in January for the rookie stuff on stream is, like, you're being a plus EPA thrower at every level is a thing. And Shroud was a plus EPA thrower at every level. Like, it's not just Justin Fields who was creating, you know, like 5-6 deep throws a game. And that's where a lot of his yardage is coming from. It's the chunk plays in between. It's being a guy that can move the sticks over and over again. So for Stroud, like, that's there. And this year it's there for Jaden. It's there for Caleb to some extent. It's there for McCarthy to some extent. Nick's. Like, I think there's a lot of guys that can do that this year. That's why I'm excited about the class.
And I think it'll be there next year with Beck. I think the Carson Beck of Georgia, I think he'll need to hit deep shots more consistently in order to, you know, set himself up to be the first quarterback off the board. But short, intermediate, kind of semi-deep balls, he's been, like, one of the best quarterbacks I've watched at it, at least at Georgia, which there hasn't been a ton of great quarterbacks come through Georgia recently. So, but yeah,
you're due with all the recruiting. I feel like you're due at some point to have one that's
like, they recruit so well everywhere except for receiver and quarterback. Like, even Ladd was like a 3-star 100 or like 1,100th recruit in the country.
And now he's going 70th at ADP. What a world.
Yeah. Crazy.
All right, so Adamo, any last words here? Of course, we're going to call quits here, but drafts every Monday to Friday here at 11 a.m., so please do hit that subscribe button, hit that like button, especially hit that like button for Adam. Make him feel good here, because I think he did a tremendous job today. And now, you know what, Adam? You got me excited here. I'm not excited in advance for anything. Now you brought me on, and I'm hooked on Adam. I got to draft Davante Adams in every draft.
Good. All right, and my underdog username is ADW1, so if you see me, that's who I am.
Yeah, so let you have all the good players, especially Georgia-affiliated ones.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so there we go, guys. So shout out to Squirt Squad as well. I'll just quickly put that up here, and we'll both jump off at the same time. Shout out to Adam here for doing the draft, or do the draft with me and the stream. Of course, you two can join me on stream. Hit that 5 stars and review on the Probably app, on the App Store. If you do that, you get to win, and I'll do a spinning wheel for you every month to decide who comes on. Of course, back tomorrow with another draft. So I'll see you guys then. Enjoy your days, and good luck. Bye.